Now, we all know the cliches that the Chinese only copy, that they're just following Western trends. And for Australian designers, China's economic boom is often seen as something of a gold rush. But looking more closely at China, the picture is more complex. In 2006, China's ex-premier Hu Jintao famously announced that he wanted to shift from made in China to designed in China. On the ground, a revival of craft traditions is quietly gaining pace in the midst of rapid modernisation. So are Australian designers too busy looking for opportunities to make money off China's boom that they're missing opportunities for genuine engagement? A big topic, and that's what we're discussing today. And my guests joining me are Arik Chen, who's the former creative director of the 2012 Beijing Design Week and a curator of design and architecture at M Plus Museum in Kowloon. Zara Arshad, who is a designer and the founder of the website Design China, and also Ian MacArthur, who is a lecturer in design at the College of Fine Arts in Sydney and the founder of the Collaborate Project, fostering collaborations between Chinese and Australian design education programs. Arik, Zara and Ian, thank you for your time. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Arik, thank you.
Good to have you on the show. Arik, if I could begin with you. You're an American-born Chinese, but you left a successful career as a design critic to work in Beijing. Tell me a bit about what it was like when you got there. What was the mood of the place?
Yeah, well, I arrived in Beijing soon after the Olympics in December of 2008, and I think following up on that event, I think there was an incredible amount of optimism in the air, so to speak. I think the Olympics had definitely put a big spotlight on China, in ways good and bad, of course. But I think overall, the Chinese did a very good job of sort of dazzling the world, and that happened to coincide with me being ready for a change, and that's how I wound up there.
Okay. And what could we learn then about design in China? What were some things that Westerners might be interested to hear about design?
Well, somewhat facetiously, I think a lot of Westerners might be surprised to hear that it even exists in some ways. Last year, Beijing Design Week brought a show of Chinese design to the Salone del Mobile period in Milan, which is sort of the world's largest annual design gathering, and just to see the reactions on some of the visitors' faces and things that they said, it was clear that they were all very surprised to see that so much was going on in China.
Mm. There's also many design schools. There's an unprecedented number of graduates coming out of the design schools as well, isn't there? So it's really growing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely growing. I mean, I think there is that question of where are all these graduates going, which is a big question. But there is it definitely speaks of a hugely burgeoning interest in design in China.
Mm. The quote that I gave earlier from ex-premier Hu Jintao, that the made in China to designed in China. Why did that happen? Why is design so important to the Chinese state?
Yeah, well, I think it's become clear to them, as well as a lot of other people, that the China's current sort of low-cost export economy is not sustainable for much longer. And so as the government tries to shift the economy more towards innovation, creativity, and consumption, internal consumption, meaning Chinese need to find Chinese products desirable as well, they're putting greater emphasis on design.
Mm. What are the consumers then in China like? How have they changed then?
I think there is a huge curiosity about design and a growing awareness of more in the context of, you know, quote unquote lifestyle. I think there's a lot of as Chinese become wealthier, they are more interested in what the sort of Chinese lifestyle means to them, and that gets expressed through design. Right now, the interest is probably more in international brands, more because they have the sort of greater credibility in China. But I think there is a lot of desire to support Chinese designers who can get to a certain level.
Mm. So what are the obstacles then for Chinese designers if, as you say, there's a look towards overseas, if the design industry in China is quite new? How do they bypass these obstacles, create opportunities for themselves?
Yeah, I mean, like everywhere, there are a lot of obstacles. I mean, the ones that Chinese designers face that are similar to the designers elsewhere, you know, are largely, you know, economic. Having a market that's big enough and willing to pay for their work, as well as sort of distribution issues and so on and so forth. But I think more unique to Chinese designers is that structurally, the system in China is not really. For all the sloganeering about made in China to design in China, the system is not yet ready support design and creativity the way they need to be supported.
How does it need to change? How does that structure need to alter for it to be supported?
Well, I would say that I think it needs to be a little this goes hand in hand with the sort of larger economic issues in China right now. I think. Things are a bit too top-down. Too many resources are concentrated in the hands of too few entities, especially state-owned enterprises, and so they tend to have a monopoly on what's possible. So while there are a lot of young designers and even entrepreneurs who are gunning to do something. The resources and access often aren't there.
Mm. Zara, maybe I could bring you in here on this very question. You're the designer and the founder of the website Design China. What sort of structural changes then do you think need to happen to enable and to support design in China?
I think I completely agree with Eric. What I find through my interviews with young emerging talent is that there's not enough support for them to develop from the graduate status to a more established status. So I think there needs to be some sort of nurturing program, whether that means in terms of finances or expertise or resources, to allow them to just shift from a graduate to practicing.
And so what are some of the problems then that they're concerned with, the emerging designers? What are they encountering?
I think it's just the lack of external support. I think a lot of them find that upon graduating, they are very much on their own in terms of establishing their own studios, finding clients, or creating designs that are ready for the market.
Okay. Ian MacArthur joins me as well. He's from the College of Fine Art. He's an Australian design educator and has been leading groups of design students on collaborative exchanges to China for almost 10 years, which is a little bit about what we're talking about, Ian, I suppose. Tell us a bit about the projects that you run under the Collaborate banner. How did it start?
Well, it started in about 2003 when I returned from working in China for a period of about 3 years. And, of course, while I was there, I observed all this massive change. And my feeling was that it presented Australian designers with tremendous opportunities, but there was also this implication of a lot of challenges, global challenges, because of the complexities of the problems of such rapid advancement throws up. And so I felt that when I returned to Australia, I began to work in the TAFE system as a head teacher, that there was an opportunity to link back to the situation where I was working in Shanghai and put students from Australia and China together and initially get them to collaborate online.
Mm.
And the project started at a very small scale, just like exchanging email and using very basic websites and addressing very simple problems, design problems that were about, you know, themes of everyday life, trying to maybe reveal similarities or cultural difference or create curiosity. And the projects have gradually evolved as I've become engaged in working at the university here in Sydney.
Listening to Arik and to Zara speak as well about some of the issues that occur for the graduates coming out of the design schools in China, Do you feel that there are similarities between the Australian stories and what they're talking about in China?
In terms of professional experience, I think there are some similarities, yeah, definitely. Obviously, it's a much larger market in China, and I think it's a much more difficult market to be successful in. Mm. And I agree with Eric that the appreciation for design and what it can do for business and industry and people it's not quite there yet.
You also talk about the fact that for a lot of Australian designers, there are many guides, I suppose, that talk about how to successfully break into the Chinese market, which is a different focus. But you also think that we need to have a radical rethink of this. Why is that?
Okay, well, I feel that as a designer and a design educator, I've become less and less interested in design as a tool of, you know, commerce, and more interested in it as a means of implementing social change. And that's kind of informing a lot of the ideas I've got about shared vision, which are influenced by theorists like the Italian design theorist Ezio Manzini. And his argument is that many designers are involved in just upholding a status quo that's kind of leading us in not a very good direction. And so I think that there's an opportunity if we can create collaborative scenarios between Chinese and Australians, in our case, we can sort of start to envisage alternative futures that perhaps more positive and sustainable.
Zara, can I get your perspective on this kind of cross-cultural collaboration that Ian is doing with Collaborate as well? How important do you think, then, is it for this kind of global outlook?
I feel that it is fairly important, especially in terms of bridging China with the rest of the world. So in terms of what Ian's doing, linking, in essence, Australian design students with Chinese design students, I very much feel that they can each learn off one another. And I feel if we facilitate a lot more interaction in this way, we not only foster understanding between two different cultures, but also I think the design industries in both countries in question are given that opportunity to grow just that much further.
What exactly is being designed? What are we talking about here anyway, Zara and Arik, in China? Are we talking about clothes, furniture, cars? Where are the good things happening?
Well, the short answer is all of the above. I mean, there's a lot of activity going, and a lot of effort going into all those areas. At the moment, I would actually say architecture is probably a bit further ahead than a lot of the other design disciplines, and certainly graphic design as well. Fashion is sort of coming up there. Product and furniture is kind of lagging, is sort of a bit further, I would say, but quickly catching up.
Zara, do you agree that the architecture is certainly on the rise, or has been for quite some time? What are some other areas that you can identify?
I do agree that architecture has been quite popular for quite some time now, especially with the so-called architects coming into China and using the country as almost like their playground. I think that's very much helped to foster this. I think that fashion is actually quite far developed as well. There are a lot of young emerging designers that have been exposed, for example, in publications like Vogue. A lot of Chinese designers are winning London awards, such as the Vauxhall Scout Award. So I do feel that fashion is quite far advanced as well. And I would certainly agree with Arik in the sense that the furniture design, although there are a large number of designers, both established and emerging, that are looking now into crafts and sort of the impact of heritage on this area, it probably is something that needs to be developed further in terms of market-ready products.
Arik, could you speak a little bit more then about this craft revival that is happening on the ground in China?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think this revival is coming from a few things. One, you know, with all the rapid sort of changes in China and in recent decades, there is this impulse to sort of balance that with the rediscovery of more traditional craft techniques, at least, though reinterpreted probably in contemporary ways. At the same time, I think China is starting to, or a lot of Chinese are starting to question why China has become known for sort of cheap and cheaply made goods, when for most of history it was actually, you know, known for producing goods of the
high quality.
So I think they're finding they're searching for those roots and trying to kind of bring those to the present, or those sensibilities to the present. And at the same time, I think they're wondering where they, as Chinese, sort of fit into the world. So there is a bit of an identity project going on with this craft interest.
What does this mean then, Ian? I can see you nodding here. What does this mean then for Australian designers? What are Australian designers learning from this connection?
Well, I'm not sure how much they're learning, because I'm not sure how much they're actually engaging with it, which is
the big problem.
It's the big problem, yeah. And I think that there's a lot of assumptions about China, not just in Australia, but elsewhere, you know, about what it is, what it means, what the implications for the future are. And I think that designers in Australia and elsewhere have to really put the time in and the effort into trying to understand what the implications are and what the culture is and where it's headed.
Eric, do you agree? I suppose the question is, what is then a healthy design relationship between countries?
Yeah, I think probably education is one of the best ways to collaborate, because I think it's good to sort of get designers when they're young and perhaps I wouldn't say more open, because the designers tend to stay tend to be open-minded people in general, but at least in their training early on to start seeing and being exposed to different ways of thinking and different ways of seeing the world.
Zara, your thoughts, a healthy design relationship then between countries?
I think I'd like to expand on Eric's point. I also think that healthy design relationship also entails a willingness to perhaps cross disciplines and collaborate with others. And I think an open mind is needed in order to do that. I very much think that designers should start sharing with one another, whether that means internally in their own countries or externally internationally, and bring different skills and knowledge sets to various collaborative projects. And I think this in turn, this very people-focused knowledge transfer process is what a healthy design relationship should be, rather than focusing on quick money.
It is a long topic. I think it's something I think we must return to here on By Design. Just to wrap up our conversation about design and China, I just wanted to ask very quickly if you have a tip, Zara, on a favourite Chinese designer.
Typically, I don't think I can pick just one.
Very quickly,
okay,
just one.
Although not practicing exclusively as a designer, I'm a huge fan of Ou Ning, who has pioneered several architectural and design projects that explore the unexplored, as it were. And secondly, very quickly, I'd like to mention Freeman Lau. Although he's not from mainland China, he's from Hong Kong and practices in product, industrial and graphic design. And I think he exemplifies very beautifully and very poetically how much of an impact culture and heritage can actually have on design. So I think there's a lot that can be learned from his work.
Thank you very much, Zara. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but we're going to put up those pics on our Facebook page as well for our favourite Chinese designers. And many thank you to our guests, Arik Chen, Zara Arshad and Ian MacArthur. Thank you for joining me on By Design. Appreciate
it.
Thank you for having me.
And that is By Design for today. It's been great to be with you. It's produced by Jan Ryan and Diane Dean. Our sound engineer is Anne-Marie de Bettencourt, and I'm Fenella Kernebone.